fighting for America.
When is the administration going to tell the American people the truth about Benghazi?
Benghazi, Benghazi, Benghazi. Why aren't we talking about something else?
Democrats are all talk and no action.
Fighting for Idaho.
How about the A-10 platform? There's never been a question in my mind that it's going to go away. The question is when.
We're always going to be ready when the governor calls us up and when the president calls on us to go overseas and take care of our nation's wars. We're going to do that too.
Fighting for you.
There's people have an attitude about attorneys already. I have a lot of friends who are attorneys, so my, you know, apologies ahead of time here to my friends who are attorneys out there listening.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
Woo!
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Thank you all for joining us. Phone number is 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com. It's like old home day. Carrie Patton joining us, Carrie-Patton.com. Carrie, good to have you with us.
Man, it's been a while, brother.
Where you been?
Dealing with Hollywood, and to be honest with you, it has been nothing but invigorating. You know, I hear all the time from veterans and conservatives, you know, how, you know, there's just this thing with Hollywood that people have, I don't know, maybe animosity might be the right word, or the claim that they're anti-American or anti-military. And I got to tell you, man, everything that I've ever heard about Hollywood has been proven to me to be completely wrong. I couldn't express the gratitude that I have in working with the people I was working with. They were just so kind and so patriotic. One specifically, I mean, I was on the set of The Librarians, which is a TNT show that was created by my friend John Rogers, and it's going to be aired in December. They put on like 30 or 40 veterans on set, paid them. You know, I mean, these guys are working on, you know, hand and foot trying to help out this community. I love it.
That's good. And how's the publishing business going?
Man, that has all been put on hold. I've been so busy with Hollywood lately because of the company that I'm affiliated with, Zulu7/AK Waters LLC. So we're grinding at the grindstone, trying to get some good, you know, fun movies put together and some television shows.
Well, all heck is broken loose since we've last spoken with you here at 580KIDO.
Yeah, right.
Indeed. Let's start a little with this news out of our favorite place, the hometown of Crazy Mahmoud, who's not the leader of Iran anymore. They've announced they've cloned a drone.
Yeah, and there was we knew that was going to probably happen, though. We knew that they were working on drone technology, and you know, we also knew that on more than one occasion they did seize a drone out of the sky. Now, whether that truly was a U.S. drone or not, I don't know anymore. But we know that they've been seeking to replicate drone capabilities, and so it shouldn't be a surprise to anyone that they finally came up with one.
Well, what does this mean? And I thought the Iranians were our friends since we've loosened up the sanctions.
Well, just because somebody has a drone doesn't mean, you know, any, you know, significant extra threat has been created by any means. Look, countries in today's day and age, they're going to compete. They always have tried to compete with the military might, specifically with technology and hardware. So, you know, a part of you can't really blame them for trying to create a drone. I mean, we have drones. We've been, you know, utilizing drones all around the world. Many have made an argument that a lot of our drone operations are actually illegal. You know, so who's to say?
Are we ever going to see a day when we're going to have drone v. drone?
Yeah, wouldn't that be interesting? You know, who knows, though? I mean, the way how robots are moving these days, and that's another big one that's coming out right now in the international community, you know, robotic warfare, you know. So it's not just drones any longer. They're even talking about utilizing robots that would be, you know, in a weird sense, replicating what drones do in the air. These robots would be doing the same thing on the ground and in the sea. So who knows where we're going to go with modern warfare.
Carrie Patton with us, Carrie-Patton.com, our intelligence expert, a man who's been to many places that we've seen and read about but really never know about. That's why we have him here. So, Carrie, let's talk a little bit about Hillary Clinton as a Secretary of State. Would you term her tenure in office a success based on before and after the regions of the world?
you're looking for a direct answer, and I'm not going to be that guy that gives you one. Let me be the radio host and say, well, can you explain to me what a success really entails? I'm not going to do that to you, brother. But I will say this, and I think everybody that's listening is smart enough to know. Hillary Clinton, as Secretary of State, basically any Secretary of State for that matter, is a puppet. They're a puppet to the executive office. And in being the puppet, I think Hillary did exactly what she was told to do. Now, does that mean that she was successful or not successful? It depends on what side of the spectrum you're looking at it. Obviously, conservatives like myself, we're going to say no, of course, she was not successful. In fact, she was possibly even a traitor to many regards. But when it came to this administration, she did what she was told to do, and I really do believe that was one of the reasons why she left that position and left the administration as a whole, was because she saw that, you know, all hell was going to break loose in the very near future, and we see what's going on with Benghazi today, and I think she was smart for walking when she walked.
Well, let's just take a look at the accomplishments of the administration then. Let's face it, during the Bush years, the Middle East, not perfect, but a lot more stable than it is now. Africa, a lot more stable than it is now. Before and after, one could argue that this administration has had a failed foreign policy.
Yeah, and you know, I'm going to sound like an apologist or an Obama apologist or whatever people want to call me, but I'm not any of those things by saying this. But the truth of the matter is, war makes money. People don't like that, but it's a reality. War has been one of the biggest economic boosters in American history when it comes to economics. And if you look at our military-industrial complex, it is the number one gross GDP assets that we have. So when you look at the turmoil that's going on all around the world, throughout Eastern Europe, Africa, the Middle East, even Asia today, I mean, people don't even talk about what's going on in Burma right now, let alone Thailand. I got to say, from a strategic standpoint, if you are a true capitalist, this might be a good thing for us.
Oh, look, the markets are blowing up. Let's talk about, you know, again, back to the foreign policy situation. Let's go to your friend Vladimir. Are we really misjudging him with our reaction to what's going on in the Ukraine? Let's go old school Cold War on you.
Yeah, I don't know if we're misjudging him or not. And this is where I'm really I keep scratching my head here, because a part of me says, you know, we should be doing a lot more. But another part of me says, well, what is it that we could really do and be successful in doing? I mean, sanctions are not going to really do a whole lot in Russia, all right? Sanctions really, for the most part, don't do a whole lot anywhere. I look at Iran and how many sanctions we play with them. But so if sanctions aren't going to work, what are we going to do? Do a deployment and rotate, you know, our own forces all over Eastern Europe on the border states? Like, but what is that show of force really going to do? It's not going to do anything that we really need to get done. And what needs to get done is a diplomatic understanding that what Russia is doing is very similar to what we have been doing throughout the Middle East and parts of Central Asia for the past decade plus.
Kerry Patton with us, Kerry-Patton .com at 580KIDO. Kevin Miller in the morning. I just wonder, you know, you talk about, are we going to bring up the troops on the bordering states? Is NATO a hollow shell, considering when we had the Libyan excursion, we had to give them, as you well remember, the tomahawks, the missiles, the very bullets to bomb Gaddafi out of existence?
Right. No, and you're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. And that's where it's just really interesting, where when you look at, quote-unquote, enemies and allies, they're almost like Democrats and Republicans. They're kind of one of the same, just wearing a different disguise. We play people, they play us. We play our friends play us. We play our enemies play us. And, you know, if you look again at Libya, if you look again at Syria, and you look at the tie where Russia and the U.S. were involved, you'll see we're two enemies that are actually enabling one another to create these micro proxies all over the place.
Micro proxies all over the place. This is, again, seems like old school Cold War.
It totally is. You know, but hey, Kevin, let's not forget, when I first went on your show, one of the very first episodes that I was on, I was the first one to say the Cold War never ended.
I would agree with you. So what does that make Poland?
Well, Poland, I have a friend of mine that just came back from Poland, actually. And he's a former Navy SEAL, and he was just telling me some stuff that, I mean, these guys are scared to death, and they should be. In fact, I think everybody in Europe should be scared to death what's going on in Russia, because who controls Western Europe's natural gas supply? Russia.
Right.
I mean, they have the keys to the kingdom right now, because they are the number one exporter in the world for natural gas. Now, we are the number one country to bring natural gas out of the ground, but we're not refining it appropriately. We have too much red tape to do the appropriate exportation that we could really be doing right now to make us flourish. I mean, we could be the next Saudi Arabia when it comes to our natural gas, but Russia's doing that game. So unless our government, Republican and Democrat alike, take the red tape off the refining process and the exportation process, Russia's going to maintain that trump card.
You know, I really go back to Poland because, you know, let's go back to World War I and World War II, and the fact that we did get Poland away from the Soviet Union, the way away from the Warsaw Pact, was huge. I wonder if our friends in Poland have enough confidence in us, in this administration, that we will keep that alliance, that we will protect Poland like we're kind of punting on the Ukraine.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. The answer is no. They're scared to death as to what is happening right now. They do not have confidence in the United States right now. And sadly enough, and very few people even talk about this country, Georgia even feels worse. The country of Georgia has, I mean, they lost over 26, you know, armed forces members in Afghanistan. They've had a contingent of service members. I think they're actually the biggest contingent of European, long-standing European contingent that has been in Afghanistan, if I'm not mistaken. And just recently, the United States, President Obama said, you know, Georgia has not met all the obligations to become a NATO partner. Well, wait a second. You know, they're by our side fighting in Afghanistan time and time again. They're losing bodies. I mean, what more can they do knowing that they still have to safeguard their own little country that's landlocked away from the former Soviet Union? You know, we've done a lot for them, but in return, they've done a lot for us as well. I think we really need to start looking closer at Georgia and our relationship with them and some of these other former states that are former Soviet Union states, because that's going to be one of the ways that we can block Russia from moving forward with their infiltration in these other, you know, countries.
More coming up with our great friend Kerry Patton, Kerry-Patton.com, for information on his movies, his books, which we'll talk about next. And we'll talk about the Nigerian situation and Benghazi. Let's get you to work safely and on.
Food for your brain. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
When is the administration going to tell the American people the truth about Benghazi?
What difference at this point does it make?
This has been caught up in the 2016 presidential campaign, this effort to go after Hillary Clinton.
Benghazi, Benghazi, Benghazi. Why aren't we talking about something else?
Good morning. 580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Our great friend Kerry Patton with us. All right, Kerry, so you're doing movies now. Want to tell us what else you're up to? Are we ready for Contracted 3 yet?
Yeah, I'm in the process right now of doing another book that it's going to be a short book. It's going to be a short story, about 100 pages. That is based off of at least now 4 significant events that unfolded in Afghanistan that most people don't really know the full details toward. Now, of course, I have to do this in a fiction format, but I will tell you it has to do with Russian operations in Afghanistan today. In fact, without giving too many details, if anybody looks at the Paula Broadwell escapade with General Petraeus, they would find that there is a link with Russian influence operations there. So that's just the little tidbit that I'm doing for that short story. And to me, it's fascinating. I think it's fascinating because, you know, we fight wars and we don't always look at the external players that are involved. And in this case, Russia is heavily involved in a lot of what we do in Afghanistan. And it's mostly against us because of the Afghan Communist Party that does exist and is very powerful over there. So I'm working on that. I'm working on a screenplay right now that's relatively similar in nature. And I'm working with an incredible stunt guy who has his own production house out of New York City, a guy by the name of Pat Walsh. And we're working on a screenplay that has to deal with, again, a lot of reality and pedophilia and Russian organized crime here in the United States. And it's really one of those films that, again, it's going to be fiction, but inspired by true events. And it's more or less to expose the situation in which we face here in the United States that oftentimes people overlook, you know. So it's just one of the passions that I have right now is just doing a lot of exposure of reality, but putting it into a fictional format.
Kerry Patton with us, Kerry-Patton.com. For more information on Kerry, our intelligence expert. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. So it's been a while since we've talked about Benghazi. Eleanor Clift said Chris Stevens died of smoke inhalation. Are we ever going to know what really happened? What are your sources telling you?
You know, it's one of those things, man. I get mixed information right now on Benghazi, and a lot of it, what's sad is it's coming from really, really credible people that are well, should be in the know. And either way, though, the way how I see it, it doesn't matter what these folks are telling me. The way how I see it is these persons are dead, okay? And there is an incredible after-action review that should be built to make sure this never happens again. And in the end of the day, I hate to be the guy that says it, but the truth of the matter is nobody is going to be punished for what happened in Benghazi. Our president will not be impeached. Nobody will go to jail. And that's just because we live in a very corrupt society right now. And therefore, because I feel that way, I prefer no longer even thinking about it because all it does is it's not healthy for me.
Kerry Patton with
it. Sickens me. It really does. It sickens me knowing how bad we went down this rabbit hole.
And we'll probably never find out what's in the rabbit hole.
Exactly.
Kerry Patton with us as we continue on. We move on to an area that you and I have discussed, although not in the front pages, but you always said to look out for this region, Africa, Nigeria, and the president saying, I wish I could do something, the first lady with the hashtag, the terrorist guy that wasn't a terrorist guy, according to the State Department, cutting videos, the hostages. Give us your take on the Nigerian hostage situation, Kerry.
Well, number one, it's absolutely atrocious that anybody, any organization would utilize children for their own end stated goal or desires. And I take serious issue with that. Children are innocent and, you know, they just should not be used as pawns. And then thinking about what these girls are probably going through, I could only imagine they've probably been raped several times. I'm sure they're being abused. You know, it's horrible, Kevin. It really is horrible. But in the end, you know, this is probably why I can never be a top general in the DOD or a president or even possibly a congressman or a senator, because I'm the type of guy that says, all right, hold on. The gloves are off now. You went after 200 kids, and I'm sending an elite team of the best of the best, and we're just going to go annihilate everybody in the area. No, I don't believe in diplomacy on that card. You know, you mess with kids, then we're going to give you hell to pay. But we're not going to do it. You know, we became soft. There was a time in American history where we wouldn't put up with this crap. And you know me by now, I have a big libertarian side in me where I don't think we should be involved in other people's business. But for me, when it comes to kids, no, that's where I draw the line.
Well, what's your take on what's going on in the Situation Room where, again, the president makes a speech, I'm the most powerful man in the world, I wish I could do something. We're talking about social media, and basically, Kerry, you've dealt with these guys. This thug is calling us out, laughing at us on video.
No, well, of course he is. You know, and when the president, you know, claims that he is the man where he could do certain things and he's not doing it, it just shows his true colors. You know, I mean, his words are pretty much meaningless anymore these days, you know, and that's where I think the bad guys have the upper hand right now. You could pretty much literally get away with murder, and, you know, nobody's going to make you pay for it.
Right. And again, you know the background of these areas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, the former ambassador said, look, these girls are spread all over that continent now. You know, the getting them back is tougher than what we're talking about. They're not in some group.
Yeah, no, and that very well may be the case, and now they've become quote-unquote casualties of war. But my point is, you know, if I'm not going to get them back, still I'm going to make you pay for what you've done. You know, it's kind of like if somebody kidnapped my own kid and I find out that my kid was killed during the kidnapping, or, you know, when we finally recover the body, that doesn't mean that I'm just going to stop and you know, just say, all right, well, my child's dead. No, you go balls to the wall and you make people pay for hell, you know, and we just don't do that anymore. There was a time, as I said, I mean, Reagan would never have put up with this crap. I'm telling you right now, Reagan would never have put up with it. So where is the American leadership where we're just going to say, you know what, our gloves are off. No more, guys. We don't have that in this administration, Kevin, obviously.
Kerry, if you'd speculate, what are our advisors doing down there, if anything?
Pulling their hair out. I mean, literally, those, you know, you got really two forms of advisors. You got the advisors in Washington, D.C., and they're more or less political puppets that are given, you know, feel-good sandwich-type bullet points to the president and his persons, and they're pretty much worthless is how I see it. But then you got advisors, and that, I don't know if that's the appropriate term, but we'll say it is for now. That are actually in the field or in some really dark, you know, windowless office somewhere that are doing independent intelligence collection, who know what's going on. And their intelligence reports are getting skewed. You know, what they uncover and what they create, by the time it gets up to the presidential level, those reports are no longer what they were originally written as. And that's where they're pulling out their hair. That's where they're getting frustrated. That's why guys are leaving that type of work. That's why I left that type of work.
Kerry Patton, we always appreciate the insight. Anything to look out for?
No, just December 10th. I think it's December 10th, I believe, is the start of the Librarians. Go to their Facebook page. Christian Kane is one of the key actors. Noah Wiley. Hook those people up, man. Go to their Facebook page and like them, because I'm telling you, a great crew of people who really do absolutely love our veteran community. So go give them a shout out and tell them I sent you.
Hook them up. Maybe you can get them on for us so you can do our job for us.
Hey, I'll tell you right now, let me put a call out to one of the executive producers named Paul Bernard and the creator, John Rogers, and we'll make that happen, brother.
Kerry, don't be a stranger.
You got a partner.
See ya.
All right, cheers.
Our friend Kerry Patton with us. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
The hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain.
Kevin, if you only had a brain, you would be dangerous.
In my head, I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hatching if I only had a brain.
Food for your brain, Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
With the thoughts you'd be thinking, you could be another Lincoln if you only had a brain.
Words to live by. Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO, and we could say that for our political class. Here's something that I think you're going to like. And if we lived in the state of North Carolina, we would be proud to have Walter Jones as our congressman. In fact, Walter Jones, a good friend of mine from the old days. Kevin, don't you have any new friends? Sure, we have a lot of new friends here. Well, we always want to acknowledge folks that have made a difference. So here you have Walter Jones has come up with a bill that he introduced yesterday that would stop costly first-class flights by lawmakers at our expense and force representatives and senators to fly coach. That's right. As representatives of the American people, we in Congress have a responsibility to use wisely the people's money, said Jones, a North Carolina Republican. Members of the House and Senate should never secure their own luxury travel at taxpayer expense, but they especially should not do so when our nation is buried in $17 trillion in debt. H.R. 4632, known as, quote, if our military has to fly coach, then so should Congress act, sets the limit on congressional trips that govern most governmental travel. Members and their staff cannot use taxpayer funds to buy first-class tickets unless they need to accommodate a disability or other medical need. Wow. That's a good one. So at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, should members of Congress fly first class or coach? Do you like this legislation? I think that it's great. In fact, how many times have I thought that if you are a representative of the people, state, local, national, then you can't be above the people that you serve? Last year, the Washington Times reported that Congress spends between $6 and $10 million each year on overseas trips alone. Now, that doesn't include the transportation lawmakers take between Washington and their home districts. Now, you talk about flying ghetto fabulous if you're doing an overseas junket. Have you seen the first class in those? And the only reason why I know, I was flying coach when we went to Iraq. But, I mean, they have these own, their own pods, and they pull out into beds, and you're like in this tight little cockpit, and it looks very comfortable, much so next to, than being next to Timmy, who's sprawling all over your armrest in coach. But I think this is a great move by Congressman Jones. And look, let's face it, how many times do you see someone who is our public servant that is, you know, in first class? I think it's a good move. That's one issue that we're going to talk about. Others at 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com, are available at the Kevin Miller, John Boehner, and Immigration Hot List edition. And I don't understand this. In fact, I talked a little bit about this on the Hot List. But you have the move by, let's see, by John Boehner, by everyone else, to push immigration reform. Do we really need the immigration reform? And here we have Tom Donahue, head of the U.S. Chamber of Congress, has told the GOP that if they don't overhaul the nation's immigration system, if they don't grant amnesty, then they might as well not field a candidate for 2016. And as I said, sparring with Dave Pezzo yesterday, with Phil Hardy on the emails with Tea Party Bob last night, look, when you do this, this is it for the Republican Party. If you put in people and people say, well, we have to reach out to the Hispanic community, does that mean that all people here illegally are Hispanic? No. So why are you taking a look at legalizing folks, rewarding lawbreakers? It's like somebody comes into your home and takes over your bedroom. Do you call the police or do you serve them a bologna sandwich? You don't serve them a bologna sandwich. And yet the press is behind it. The president is behind it. And we, you know, again, told you the story, and this is available at the Kevin Miller Hot List, John Boehner and Immigration Edition, this story out of the Washington Times. Now, Mr. Popke has not picked this up. The television stations have not picked it up. No other radio station will pick it up. They don't have enough guts to pick this up. But here's the headline. Republicans, and this is from the conservative Washington Times, Republicans look to loosen penalties on illegal immigrants. Why would they do that? And then we hear the story, and Congressman Labrador, ever since he was a candidate, was a champion of this, the issue involving high-tech workers. High-tech workers, we don't have enough of them. Do we have enough of them? I believe that we do in this country. Let's have full employment of all folks with engineering, electrical, computer, IT degrees before we start looking to bring in people from other countries that we don't have, that the corporations don't have to pay as much, that the workers don't have the rights of American citizens. Isn't that what we're doing here? And again, here's the lead. Republican Representative Raul Labrador offered a potential immigration deal to the White House, saying the GOP would agree to loosen penalties on illegal immigrants if President Obama would agree to increase visas for foreigners who work in high-tech fields. Why would you loosen penalties on the illegals? Mr. Labrador suggested dropping the penalty period that bars illegal immigrants from reapplying to enter the U.S. legally after being deported, a period that now lasts between 3 and 10 years, depending on how long they had first remained in the country illegally. And it goes on and on. 3 and 10 years has to go away because right now the people are here illegally. Yes, but you don't reward someone who takes from you. And yes, you have a right to love America, if not for yourself, for your children. As Jeff Sessions, senator from Alabama, has successfully argued, the economics of immigration reform do not make sense. If you flood the market with low-wage workers, we already have Uber competition for low-wage jobs. That's the criticism, that we have too many low-wage jobs. We don't have an abundance of jobs in this country. So instead of paying Timmy $9, you can pay Billy $7.50, who came over illegally but now is legal. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Never mind that there's been no GOP response to Eric Holder mandating schools must enroll children of illegal immigrants. We already know that's going on here in Idaho. That's going on across the country. Why are the costs of schools going up so much? Because you have a lot of people that are not committing and not contributing to the tax codes and that are here illegally. We see it in Idaho. The schools don't like to talk about it. It's funny because having been to the schools, and even before that, people, I remember somebody came up to me and said, we want a safe place. And I go, a safe place from what? Well, you know, the INS. The INS doesn't deport people in America. I mean, come on, a safe haven, as if there are some type, I'll tell you, we all need a safe haven from the NSA, the IRS, and the Attorney General, right? But back to this point here at 580-5436, do you agree with the ever-popular Congressman Labrador and his version of what he's trying to do with the White House? He's the point man, so he must have Boehner's approval on this. Let's face it, if he gets this, he's a made man in Washington. But in Idaho, how does that play for you? 580-5436, 580-KIDO, dropping the penalty period for more foreigners who work in high-tech fields. I've told you how I feel. I want to hear from you next. Let's get you to work safe.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller with you here. To Greg and Emmett at 580-KIDO. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, Kevin. Thank you for your program.
Well, thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening, sir.
Yes, I'm calling in about Republicans seeking to loosen immigration requirements.
Sure.
Yeah, I am absolutely against what Congressman Labrador is doing there. And, of course, immigration reform next to Obamacare is Obama's, number two priority. They really go hand in hand, and we need to enforce the law as is and quit the subversion of our laws.
What would you like to say to the congressman if he's listening or to his supporters that may be listening?
Well, we have 20 to 24 million underemployed and unemployed Americans. Why do you need these workers? You know, we have tens of thousands of unemployed high-tech workers here in the United States. Why do you need to do this? And why make any deal with Obama whatsoever on immigration? And so no deal, period.
No deal, Congressman Labrador.
No deal and no amnesty in any form, in any form.
Greg, thank you. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much.
All right, we continue on to Forrest in Donley at 580-KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning. Hello, Forrest.
How are you doing today?
Good.
Hey, I'm against what Congressman Labrador is doing also. I believe that we should spend our energy towards closing our borders down just in case we have terrorists coming across them. We close our borders in Afghanistan. Mexico closes its southern borders, and they deport everybody back out of their country. At this point, we should close our borders first, including the Canadian border. Then we can talk about legal and illegal immigrants that are here.
And what would you like to say to him?
Put your energy towards closing our borders, number one, first.
Forrest, thank you for the call.
All right, thank you.
All right, we appreciate it. Kevin Miller in the morning. We continue on with Linda in Emmett at 580KIDO. Hello, baby.
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
I've missed you.
Oh, you've missed me. Okay, well, I'll have to call in more often then. I wanted to, you know, call in about we citizens paying for first-class tickets for congressmen and senators and so forth. To me, that's plain, it's a waste of money. If they want to fly first class, they should pay for it out of their own pocket. They've got their fingers in our pockets enough, and we don't need to do it anymore.
All right, Linda, thank you for the call.
You're welcome, dear. Take care.
All right, let's go to traffic at 580. To Timmy at 580KIDO.
Hey. You know, I want everybody to quit their complaining. They keep voting these 10 people
seconds.
Back
10
in.
10 seconds.
Go ahead. Vote them back in. You keep voting them in, so quit your whining. And Patton, come on.
I thought it would be compelling. My apologies. We'll try better tomorrow. Give us a vote in the Statesman's Poll. It's our last day. Good day. God bless. Keep the faith. Serving Meridian.